mountains. I'd rather stay inside. I need to practice the guitar a whole lot more, because all you can do in the cold winter like that is either scratch your stomach or try to learn something. It's always good to see you. You folks are special. We appreciate your prayers, your watch care over our children, and you're a good bunch. You're blessed. Argentina. Well, we've been sharing through the internet now the teaching of the Word of God every Sunday morning. It's been a year now. And sadly, the church out in the desert doesn't have a preacher. It's kind of far out of the way. It was a 3-hour round trip, and we did that for about 30 years, and it can get a little, it's kind of a pain, but you don't even think about it really after a while. And so we're happy to do it. They called and said, what are we going to do? And so I didn't know the whole lot about how they do those things, so they set it up. And every morning, this morning, it was at 5:30 because of the time change. Next week, it's not going to be as early. How's that? And so we're grateful to do it. And we've had people now from, many years ago, we had a Bible study about, maybe it was a 5-hour round trip way out there close to the mountains. And we had a Bible study there for about a year, maybe more, I can't remember. People got saved, 2 or 3, not many. And then it just didn't fizzle. It fizzled out. We couldn't get a church started. And as they heard about what was going on through some of the relatives that got saved and did become members of the church in the city, they moved. They're plugging in. And so we have, and for many years, I had radio messages. Out in the desert, you can reach 100 miles out. It's flat. And so some of those folks are beginning to plug in through those messages. They're never going to have a church, most likely, because they're scattered all over the place. So I just thank the Lord. I think it's a wonderful blessing for us. I'm getting old. I forget things. But I'm really happy to be able to continue to preach the Word of God. The matter of the Bible. Many years ago, when I got to Argentina, we used the Bible everybody else does. It's the 1960 version. But it has some problems. And I was telling one of the brothers, you figure that out because you're lazy sometimes. I would study in English because it was easier for me then. And then I would teach the message without checking it out in the Spanish Bible. And I would say things that didn't fit. So they would say, my Bible doesn't say that. And I thought, oh boy, now we have a problem. So as time passed, we looked for Bibles and found some older ones, but they were all the same. They didn't match the King James or the common Spanish Bible that was used. One of the brothers that we were both together looking, Rodney Fry, I don't know if you supported Rodney Fry here. Mm-hmm. Amen. And someone gave him a New Testament that was being worked on by a brother named Humberto Gomez, Dr. Gomez from Mexico. And he passed it on to me, and I read it, and I found some good changes, but still some issues. The Bible had it, that little New Testament had his name and phone number, so I called him. And I explained what I had been doing, and Brother Fry and I for a year or so. And he said, well, he says, Brother, there isn't one. That's why we need to get together and get something done. And so through the years, there were many missionaries that had to be fluent in English and Spanish. And by fluent, I mean fluent. You know, you think in two languages, you dream in two languages. And he said, I need help. As you read and find things, make a note of it and call me or send it to me. And it's been a long process, 15 years or so. And now we have a Bible in Spanish that matches the King James. It is so good that all of the chick tracts and literature are printed using that version. So it's been a long battle. The problem we've had there is because the Bibles that come in are the 1960, the RV 1960. And them were brought in mainly by the Southern Baptists and most churches because there wasn't too many options in Spanish. And it just cost a lot of money to do that. I can't even remember now, maybe 10 years ago, there was a shipment of like 20,000 Bibles into Chile, northern Chile, that were spread out in Peru and all of those languages there. But we couldn't get them in the country, so we had to smuggle them. And that's kind of an interesting thing to do. You know, you get caught and they kind of don't like that, and sometimes they take them away and they tell you don't do that again. But there was no option, and you know, Shelley's pretty calm, so when they opened the trunk and would look at things, you know, she didn't get nervous or anything like that. And so it was an amazing, a blessing. You know, you think about people back in the days, just sneaking them into Russia and places like that. And so it's something that we've done for many years. Now, a brother, Pittman, who's a missionary in southern Chile, he has, I don't know how many Bibles he got, a couple of thousand, I guess. And I talked with him a couple of weeks ago, and he said, listen, I'm going to try to take 400 Bibles, because there's more churches that are switching to that Bible as they get familiar with it and compare. He said, so you all pray. You pray that I can get by and get through there. Now, he does have some paperwork from the Chilean government declaring that they are not for commercial purposes. They're not, in fact, they're to give away. And so he's going to try that. The problem is it's up to the Chilean government to let him come in or not. The worst thing that can happen to him is they'll take him away from him and threaten him not to do it again. But, you know, we'll just continue to do what we have to do there, and we have people that are bringing them in, but you can only bring in 30 at a time. And, you know, small amounts that you can put under the seat and like that, they don't usually look, and especially now, the economy is stronger, much stronger in Chile, and there's, I don't know, in fact, it came out in the news that for people from Argentina to stop going to Chile because there's too many people and they can't pass them all through the port of entries. So it's a problem, which makes it easier to sneak Bibles in because they don't want to spend a whole lot of time with you. But the prayer need is that he can get those Bibles, because there's some churches that I have a contact with in northern Chile. Some of these brothers are little by little switching, and he needs Bibles. So hopefully we can get them in the next week or so. And, you know, we're thankful that things are coming along. We're still involved. We get to pray, and that the Lord will bless in that. It's a problem, but normally they're not going to get too excited, and you hate to bribe people, but I guess even if you have to do that, I mean, those things happen. You just do whatever you have to do. It just doesn't seem to be the right way, but sneaking them in isn't exactly legal anyhow, so what are you going to do? And, all is well. Our house, we're in it and comfortable. Nice winter we spent, and nice and warm. Got a little wood stove. If it gets too cold, we just light it up. That's really cozy. And the Lord's been good. I have a little Bible study outside of town. Had a lot of trouble getting a Spanish work going. I have a lot of recorded messages. During COVID, we couldn't meet, so I have a bunch of recorded messages, 20, 25 minutes, and I've sent them out a lot. But most of those workers there are young guys. They'll listen, I think. Sometimes they thank you, sometimes they don't. But they're more interested in making money, and a lot of them are gone now. Things are really changing. We don't see as many. There are the workers there that are not legal. They're trying to be very careful not to get out in public, so who knows? But we'll see what the Lord does. We'll keep doing it and see what happens, and maybe we can get a Spanish work there. It's necessary. And I see a lot of Spanish-speaking people here. I don't know if there's a church in the area that is trying to start a Spanish work or not, but I'm sure you see them here and there. Now, the Latin people are typically kind. They may not read it, but no one will typically refuse a tract. They will accept one. Now, whether they read it, who knows? But sometimes people are afraid to give out tracts because you can get rejected. Some people can be kind of nasty. I'm not interested in that, or they throw it away. But the Spanish-speaking people, and especially these younger guys that are coming from all over different parts of Latin America, and we've talked to people from almost every single country in Latin America, and Cuba even, and places like that. So hopefully something will get done. Well, we'll see. We'll see. But anyway, your prayers are much appreciated for that effort, and we'll see. I'll let you know here in a week or so if he was able to get by. If not, well, they'll just keep one box at a time. Somebody will get it done. It's going to keep going. And again, I'm grateful for the opportunity to share with you all. We need your prayers. We're grateful for what you do. Now, the message. I hadn't really thought about one, but you know, at the church there in Kalispell, we have a little program, I guess, where someone will give an object lesson, 5 or 10 minutes of an object lesson of something that anyone in the congregation can share that. And so just an example of one. I borrowed Luke's bow that has the quiver on it, and it had some arrows in it. So I took it, and my object lesson was there in Psalm 127 where it talks about blessed is the man that has the quiver full. You know, we're talking about children. And the object lesson was, as I showed the arrow, if you shoot the arrow and point it at the blank, you're going to come close to hitting it. But the philosophy of our modern world is, well, I'll raise my kids, they can choose, and one of these days, hopefully everything will work out. It's like shooting an arrow up in the air, you never know where it's going to hit. And so the object lesson was, if you don't point them, they're not going to hit the blank. And so it was a kind of an interesting lesson. And so from that, I got the idea of one. This, when I talked to Pastor, I've been working on another one. And names. Names in the Bible are really important. They mean things. And many years ago, I wrote an idea that someone sent, and I was looking in an old Bible, and I found some of the names that I had written down, and I thought, that's interesting. Now, you're thinking, score, 10-minute message. You know, when donkeys fly, that's not going to happen. But it's not going to be a long one. Let's pray, if you will. Father, I'm so grateful to you. Love you, Lord, for the privilege to be a Christian, to share your word. Father, we're so grateful to you for your love and mercy, especially the fact that your kingdom will come, and we're a privileged generation that are seeing so many prophecies fulfilled even in our life. I don't know how long it's going to be, but we're grateful to know that it won't be long, Lord, and you do ask us to pray for your kingdom to come in the model prayer, if you will, where you do say, thy kingdom come. But the most important part of that prayer, Lord, is that daily bread, that Holy Spirit power that we need in our life. And we invoke that power now, Lord, for you to, through the power of your Holy Spirit, open our eyes of the importance of a name, our own name, Lord. And thank you again for the opportunity to share with these wonderful people. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. Through this, I was curious about the meaning of my name. It's Jose, Joseph, Joe, Giuseppe. Wherever you live, or different languages in the world, that name appears. It's a very common name. And I thought, what does my name mean? So I looked up in the Bible, and it says that the meaning of Joseph is God shall add. I thought, that's interesting. How does that apply to me? God will add. Okay, I'm a preacher. I think it fits. Through me, hopefully, he will add the understanding of the Word of God to those that I have the privilege to share what the Bible teaches. Then I looked up Shelley's name. Now, hers was a little more complicated. Shelley means, in Hebrew, mine, perhaps. There's several meanings. It also can mean little lamb, one with purity. In Old English, it's meadow ledge, clearing on a bank. Alludes to to her life, the calmness. And she's really pretty calm, really. I rarely have to remind her that me Tarzan, you Jane. You know, she's just that she's pretty calm most of the time. You can press that button here and there. And I thought, that's interesting. It fits her. And then Luke, I'd ask you to pray for him. Luke is a chaplain for Customs and Border Protection. And Tuesday morning, he's flying into Washington, D.C. He has the privilege of courses for chaplains, new chaplains, and they select other chaplains that they need. And he's been doing that. And his name means light giver or bringer of light. And I pray that God will use him to bear the light to those that he has the opportunity to serve in that way. Now, Emily's is a little different. Her name means laborers or striving. You know, that little gal's a buzzsaw of activity. And I was thinking, even when she was little, I remember, Luke's a couple of years older, and I would remember her looking out at the window, and Luke is sitting in the wagon, and she's pulling it. And I thought, why, that sorry rascal, we gotta have a talk with him. And so, you know, she is always doing for Luke then, and of course, she takes very good care of us, and we're grateful. What does your name mean? Look it up. It's important. And what's interesting, well, go to, let's see. Well, I'll give you some thoughts. King David means loving. Joshua, deliverer. And amazingly enough, he delivered the people of Israel into the land of Israel. Abigail, source of joy. And there you could go through a lot of names in the Bible, and they have some really good meanings. Now, some are not so good. Turn to 1 Samuel 25:25. 1 Samuel. Let's see here. 25:25. Go. Let's see here. You remember the story of Nabal and the rascal that he was, and that he didn't want to share his goods with King David and his soldiers, even though they protected his property from being stolen. Now, King David got angry, and he was going to eliminate that rascal. And Abigail found out what was going on. And in verse 25, after she pleads with King David to spare him, this is what she said in verse 25. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. Now, that name, if you look it up in the Hebrew, what it all means, wicked, foolish, and it actually uses the word stupid. I thought, that's not very complimentary. Now, there's so many things. And then in Proverbs 22:1, Proverbs 22:1, that's why I say, what is your name? What does it mean? Now, you may not have a name that fits exactly. There's names that really don't have any particular meaning, biblical meaning, if you will. 22 verse 1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The list of names in the Bible, many of them mean something very special. Now, in our world, maybe they don't. But it doesn't matter. You have a name. When people hear your name or see you and address you by your name, what do they think? Who are you really? And it's important to have a good name. Now, let's see something really interesting. Go to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 5. I had this in an old Bible from years ago, and it had never occurred to me that it would be an interesting 5 to 10 minute message. Or you can stretch it out as long as you want, huh? You know that a Baptist mind cannot absorb any more than the behind can handle. So it's important to consider all things. Genesis 5, verse 5. All the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. If you'd like, right there by the side, Adam means man. And in verse 6, it says, and Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. The name Seth means appointed or named. The name Enos means man is mortal. And in verse 9, it says, and Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. The name Canaan means pain or grieving. And in verse 12, and Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. The name Mahalalel means the blessed God. And in verse 15, and Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. The name Jared means shall come down. And in verse 18, and Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. And the name Enoch means teaching. Verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. The name Methuselah means his death shall bring. Verse 25, and Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. The name Lamech means despairing. And in verse 29, and he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. The name Noah means rest or comfort. Now, again, Adam means man, Seth appointed, named, Enos mortal, Canaan pain and grieving, Mahalalel the blessed God, Jared means shall come down, Enoch teaching, Methuselah his death shall bring, Lamech despairing, Noah rest and comfort. Now listen. If you put it all together, this is what this group of names in that chapter mean. It just blew my mind years ago, and I had forgotten about it. Listen what it means. If you put the names together, man is appointed or named mortal for pain or grieving, but the blessed God shall come down teaching that his death shall bring despairing, but rest, comfort will come in the end. It's wild what names mean in the Bible. But again, in this proverb that we read, a good name, how important it is. We need to be careful how we name our children also. You know, it just so happened that the names that we pick for our children happen to hit into something that is positive. But sometimes, you know, we don't think about things that way. Now, let's see here. Jump to Revelation chapter 2 and verse, let's see, 17. Here the word of God says, he that has an ear hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. It doesn't matter what your name means here. We're not going to have the same name when we get to the presence of the Lord. The name that we will have is going to be based on who we really are. Not our name, but who our person is. What our name means, our actions mean, what we have done for the glory of the Lord. So if you don't like your name or it doesn't have any particular meaning, you know, in my mind, I thought, why in the world would they name me Joel, Joseph, you know, the name like that? I mean, I think that when I was born, they thought, man, what are we going to name this kid? Ah, name him Joel, forget it. You know, just everybody in the world is named. It's a common name. And now, when I got to Argentina, the name Jose fit. In fact, when I used that name instead of Joe, they thought I was from Colombia. They didn't pick me as some as a Yankee. You know, Yankees aren't the most loved people in the world. It's hard to believe that. You know, we're so nice. And so I thought, well, that name was important to me there. Now, Shelley, they can't say. They say Chelly. And I thought, what's so hard about Shelley? The gas station Shell, Shell-E, Shelley. Luke was Lucas. Emily was Emilia. And so, you know, all of those names seemed to fit in that culture. And we didn't have any problems with our names except my dear wife. But she, at that point, took her 7 years to learn Spanish, so she didn't talk. It was interesting. And she's not a real talker anyway. And so what is your name? Not what is your name right now. It's nice if your name means something. But what do people say when they hear your name or when they see you, they know you by name and they think, man, what a nice person that is. What a godly person that is. Your name even now means a lot. However, we're going to have a new name. We don't know what it is, but we have to think that perhaps the name that God gives us, as we read, a special name, will be based on who we were on this earth. So I think we want to have a good name for that name to follow us through all eternity. It's a name that he knows, he will know. And as time passes, well, he knows the beginning from the end. He already knows what our name is going to be there. You know, I don't know, I hope he doesn't name me Egghead when I get there. But, you know, you wonder, and I thought about this, and again, this is going to be a short, I'm practicing on you guys, but I'm going to have to cut it down to about 5-10 minutes. And then I got to thinking, how do you do this? Well, here's some key verses. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Now, I didn't really understand these verses, and maybe some of you don't either. The Lord has been so good to me all these years. He always put an older man in my life, and I like to talk about the Bible. It's kind of a nuisance to some people, but I like to talk about the Bible. And in talking with older preachers, now I'm one of the old ones, I would say things and they'd say, well, brother, have you thought about this? You know, we don't know it all. And in reading these verses, starting in verse 19 in chapter 5 of Galatians, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen, this book was written by Paul to the Galatian church, to Christians. Now, I used to think that not inherit the kingdom of God, that I was not saved. And this brother said, well, it's not talking about that. That letter is to a Christian group of people, a church in Galatia. Now, all of these ugly words that we read actually takes place in most churches, in fact, all churches. All of those things that we shouldn't be involved in, uncleanness, all of those things, I'm going to skip some of the really nasty ones. That's what churches do. So what's the key? The key is there is no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Now, when is that kingdom? 1,000 years, the millennial reign. What's going to take place in the millennial reign? It's a new world. There'll be countries again and cities and governments, and people will travel to Israel to be in the presence of God there in his millennial temple. It's going to be another society. It's going to be different. There'll be no mountains. There'll be no oceans. But there's going to be another society, not like it is now, because Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron. So this actually fits us. It's not talking about those that are condemned. And sadly, these awful words apply to people that should have a godly name. What does your name mean? What will your name mean when Jesus sets up his kingdom, that we have that new name? Well, here's what he wants of us in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things is no law. So our name will be as we apply these words. Now, sometimes it's hard. There's a lot of stinkers out there in the world. There's a few stinkers here in churches, you know what I mean? Brother Whitehead, my pastor, he passed away over a year ago. He'd say, man, he says, if there wasn't a stinker doing church, you wouldn't be able to appreciate the good ones. So keep hoeing the corn, brother. That's what his thought was, you know. And there's a lot of truth to that. We make mistakes. And there's moments even the best of Christians stumble. It's just life. But if we're conscious of what this means in the eternity, that's where it's important. 1,000 years is a long time to be hoeing the corn in a Jew's plot of land in Israel. They're going to have their land. They're going to farm. They'll have their vineyards and all of the planting that's necessary. It's going to be another world. And there will be mistakes, but God is going to take care of that. The Lord Jesus Christ will be the president of this whole world, and he'll have things under control. We don't think about that. And what, again, is your name? Now, finally, go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's see here. I like these verses a lot, and they mean something special to me. I'll never forget the first time we left the country, that we were going to be gone for 8 months. I never did that again. I never stayed out of the country for that long a time. Things can get pretty fouled up. And I regretted it. And before I left, and there was tears, and I pleaded with the people of there was two churches then, and I read these verses to them. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, this has a lot to do with our name. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Hang in there. Keep hoeing the corn, is the saying. Unmovable. Don't let false teaching. We have to be people of the book. That's the problem. Read the Bible. Now, we have a tendency to read a lot of different books. And you know, again, every new year I share with our people in Argentina, it takes 4 pages. That's all. to read every single day, and you will read the Bible through in 1 year. And you'll go over that and over that and over that. And I've already shared with you, no doubt, some time back, that when I first got saved, I was just months in the Lord. Somebody gave me the book on Hudson Taylor in China Inland Missionary. Everybody's heard of Hudson Taylor. And in his book, he writes that he was up in the tent as he went up into the mountains to the villages with his helper. And I believe it was at 4:30 in the morning, he blew out a candle, and he said to his helper there, that his companion, he said, "I have been saved 40 years, he said, and just now I finished reading the Bible 40 times. And I thought, man, I'd like to do that. Well, the first year I missed it. I've been saved 40 years. But I've read it 39 times. Now, so many things you don't understand. But it's amazing how, as you go through it year by year, you see some. That's why you can't get bored with this book, especially if you start looking up the meaning of names and things like that. And it doesn't take very long to do it. You run across something, you think, man, I never saw that before. Or that's exactly what you needed for that day. You know, I share this story because it impacted my life. In Argentina, we were up in the high mountains. We did a lot of that with the Indian people. And Brother Fry, when he was there, at first he didn't speak Spanish very well, so I helped him a lot, and it was a blessing for me. And I was sitting up there in the high mountains leaning on a tree, and along comes this gaucho driving an ox cart, two oxen with that yoke, that heavy wooden stick. And he's sitting on that ox cart. They don't have reins on him. He just has a long stick. And with that, he prods the animals along. And he was moving furniture. And I thought, Argentine moving service. You know, I thought that was interesting. And as I looked, talking to an Indian there, I said, I noticed that one of them, the oxen, one was a small one and the other one was big. But they have no bridles or anything. They're just latched into that yoke. And I said, well, how do you teach that young one to follow the old one? How do you train them? He said, that's easy. So we just tie them together in that big yoke. And that little one, he'll fight him for a while, but we turn them loose the whole night. And he said, when the big one turns, that other one is obligated to turn. He'll fight him, but by in the morning, the instant that big one lifts his head, so does he. If he turns to the left, I mean, he's right there. He is so sore. And I thought, the Lord said, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. And I thought, that's good. I don't have to think. I just got to follow. That's it. And when you don't follow, you're going to get pretty sore. You're going to get pretty beat up. And life isn't going to be what you thought it was going to be as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to think. Just obey. But unless you read this book, how are you going to learn what God wants you to do? Therefore, again, what will your name be? It's important. What will your name be? I think I didn't finish reading in Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Take his yoke upon you. Therefore, my beloved brethren, and that's what I shared with the people as we were planning to leave. I didn't want things to blow up till we came back, and one of the churches did. We had to start all over. Be ye steadfast, hang in there, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That little white rock will have your name based on how you apply these simple biblical principles. And it's not easy to do. We're in a pretty wicked world. We're dirty all the time. It's just a complete mess. It's supposed to be. And remember, I share this a lot. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, thy kingdom come. It's We're supposed to pray for it to come, even though we know that before that kingdom comes, there's going to be apostasy, a departing from the faith, a misapplication of scriptures. I'm thankful that I was raised a Catholic. Not that I wish that on anybody, because, you know, I mean, you learn a lot of things that don't fit the Word of God. But as I read the Bible over and over, the New Testament, and finally understood, I thought, boy, I don't know anything. And when I got saved and got a real Bible in my hand, I thought, wow. Some things, I talked to a man at the sporting goods store at Cabela's. His name is Alex. And I was kind of looking at a bow. Luke wants me to go bow hunting. But he said, Dad, he says, you just go and call and use the call, and I'll sit a few yards ahead. So I'm supposed to sit there in the cold snow while he shoots something, and I'm just sitting there. And I thought, well, maybe I'll consider a bow. And I got to talking to this guy, and I saw that he was military. And so I got to talking to him. Real nice kid. He's probably 30. I don't know. And I got to talking to him and asking him about the bow. And then I saw that he was military. And I said, do you know that you're a minister called of God? And he looked at me and he said, well, yes. I remember the chaplain telling me that. And I said, yeah, in Romans chapter 13, it says preachers are ministers called of God, and we're to teach people how to obey God's laws. But you are also a minister called of God, and you're supposed to fix those jokers that don't obey. That's why soldiers are there, and policemen, and even government leaders, they're supposed to put the laws, the punishment in practice. And he said, yes, I know that. And I said, you're called of God. And so I asked him, and it opened the door for salvation. Every time I see a soldier or a policeman, every now and then when Shelley and I can, and there's a policeman ahead of us that places an order, we try to buy it from him, for him, feed him. And then when he comes to thank us, I give him a tract. But I ask him, do you know that you're a minister? And most of them don't know that. And so you're able to witness, and it opens a door. And, you know, it's amazing what God wants us to do, and we miss opportunities. And he thanked me, and I got to share the gospel. We talked for about an hour. In fact, he pulled the bow down and set it there on the floor. That way, nobody would bother us while we talked. And God is good. And those things, as I thought about this later, and well, this morning when Brother Garcia asked me to share something with you all, I thought, man, I hope that goes for me, for that name. What is your name? What do you want your name to be? It's important. It's important every day. Stand if you will. Father, I'm just so grateful to you for what your word teaches. Lord, there's so much in it. I guess that's why we're going to study your word for all of eternity. There's so much in it that we're never going to learn it all. Every single word has many meanings. Every name, the meanings, and how many names are there in the Bible. And Lord, it's just a book that's without end. And so, Father, help us to see these things. Help us to work to having, as the Bible says, a good name. We're Christians. We're to be Christ-like. We're to obey you, Lord. And help us all to stick our head in this yoke that you have for us. We don't have to think. We just have to learn what you want us to do and do it. It's just that simple. Help us, Lord. Help us. Bless this wonderful church. We're always so blessed just to be here. And I'd ask you, Father, that you'd work in someone's heart. Maybe there's someone here that isn't saved, that needs to put their head and neck into this yoke. It's simple. It took me a while to read it and understand it, but it just blew my mind when I realized that every year I observe the Passover. And if someone would have asked me to name the three parts of the gospel, I couldn't have. Yet we see it every single year that Jesus died on the cross, He was buried 3 days and three nights, even in the center of the earth, as Pastor shared this morning. He suffered our hell for us, and then he rose. He rose from the dead. The death, the burial, and the resurrection is the Great Commission, and sometimes we're pretty lax in even explaining that, even though we know it. And that's what you've commanded us to do, is to share the gospel. Maybe, Lord, maybe someone here has never taken or you've never touched their heart to a point where maybe they can admit right there where they're standing or sitting and say, gosh, I didn't know that the gospel was that. Well, that one thief on the cross, he recognized it. He knew that Jesus was God. And then he simply said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And amazingly enough, he knew that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. And he admitted to himself and to the Lord Jesus that he was a sinner. That first thief was like most of us. He actually tried to use the Lord Jesus and said, if you're the Christ, why don't you save yourself and save us? And the Lord Jesus didn't even acknowledge him. He ignored him. But the other one, Lord, the other one humbled his heart. He was afraid to die. And Lord, he received salvation. Wasn't a member of any church, didn't get baptized. Perhaps there's someone like that here in this group that has never clearly understood the death, the burial, and the resurrection. I pray that you'd work in that heart, Lord, and for the congregation here, these wonderful people. We're so grateful to have met the people in this church, the pastor. And I would ask, Lord, that you would burden them, burden us, about the importance of having a good name, someday an eternal name that will show forth what we have done for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.